This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNLive.com today.
My name is Kate Delaney. I am broadcasting this time around from a really wonderful place that I've never been before, Newport Beach, California. You know where Newport Beach is? It's a coastal city in Orange County. I flew into the John Wayne Airport, or Santa Ana Airport as they call it, and it's sandy beaches, kind of swimming area, and at one time in its history, it was a big maritime industry mecca, but now it's mostly recreation. There's a place called Balboa Island, and it's got canals and kind of like some of the things that you see in the Hollywood movies when they're running through canals. It reminded me of that, over little bridges and through these little streets. It's really quite a beautiful area, I have to say that. But the history of it is fascinating. They have a little museum. I went over the bridge, and I just kind of peeked in at that to get a sense of the history of this. And I just want to tell you this at the top to paint the picture for you before we go into some of the sad things that are happening in the Ukraine that we talk about and what's also happening here closer to home. But what you have now is the state of California sold acre plots of land for $1 a piece in Newport area. So Anglo-American inhabitants at the time just grew this area up, right? Around 1870, there was a steamer named the Vaquero that was a steamer that steered through the upper bay of Newport, where it unloaded its cargo. And then it quickly unraveled and became Newport, and it became a wharf in the late 1800s. And then it got more developed after that. And then there were these settlements on the peninsula of what they called West Newport Island, Balboa Island it turned into, and whatnot. So it's so interesting to see the history of it. How did this little tiny area, this cove, really this bay area, just blossom the way that it did? And once the airport was built, I mentioned I flew into the John Wayne Airport, that it, because you've got LAX and you have Santa Barbara and you have San Diego, but this is just this one little nestled area, and it's pretty close when you actually touch down there. And I'm here for an IMPECA conference. It's the National Petroleum Energy Credit Association, and it's interesting to talk to the people here. So I am broadcasting from Newport Beach, California. Rest assured, we're on top of everything that's happening, and one of the conversations I've been having in the last couple of days is the tragedy of the death of Dwayne Haskins. And you just, it's mind-boggling, some of the reactions, first of all. I think sometimes people don't think before they react and tweet things out. Imagine that. But the Steelers quarterback was hit by a dump truck on a Florida highway. He was in Florida because he was going to work out with some Pittsburgh Steelers. So it happened, I want to say it was like 6:30 in the morning. They're still kind of investigating this. There's an Interstate 595. It's near the Fort Lauderdale Hollywood International Airport, so it's in Broward County. The dump truck hit him, and it like I said, it happened at 6:30 in the morning. He was walking on the highway for, they don't know why. Was he taking a walk? Where was he coming from? Whatever. But it was 6:30 in the morning, and there are not a lot of details about how this unfolded. It's just the reaction is shock. I mean, shock that, he was in South Florida working out with some Steeler teammates, and they were talking about these great workouts that they were having. And so it's shocking and devastating. And Mike Tomlin, the the Steelers coach, he released a statement. What's he going to say? He was part of the Steelers family as soon as he arrived, and one of the hard workers, a great teammate, a tremendous friend. I'm truly heartbroken. I mean, there really aren't words for it. It's just it's tragic. I mean, what happened to him? He was a third-string quarterback last season behind the now-retired longtime quarterback Ben Roethlisberger and the backup Mason Rudolph. So he re-signed with the Steelers for 1 year last month, and this was it. He was ready to jump in. So that's just a terrible, terrible tragedy. The other thing that people are, of course, talking about is what's happening in the Ukraine. What's going to be the world reaction? I think there's so much fallout we don't even know financially some of the fallout I think that's going to happen, especially in Europe, but that will absolutely affect the United States. But the latest of what's happening on the ground is this. The Russians with their strike on the Ukraine train station that happened a few days ago, killing people. I mean, clearly, there's no thought of worrying about the people in the middle of this. There's no thought of that. I mean, what is the strategy here? I think it was ultimately a land grab. Get out Zelensky, the president of the Ukraine, and take it over. But that didn't happen so smoothly. So now the people that are escaping and are getting out have left people behind. And how many of them are surviving? And, you know, that's the question. So the evacuations are certainly underway in East Ukraine, because we're seeing the battle lines that are, you know, that are moving. And people are also, when they can return to what they feel is a more safe area, they're returning to search for their fathers, brothers, whoever, look for their loved ones, especially in that mass grave, because investigators exhumed 21 of what they say of at least 67 bodies that are suspected to be lying in the mass grave. They don't even know, and this is just outside of Kyiv. They're still trying to figure out how many people and identify them, and, you know, the horrificness of that whole thing. And then, as I mentioned, the missile that hit the Ukraine train station, it's chilling. And the message is clear that this isn't going to end anytime soon. I mean, you know, it's not going to end. So 52 people died at that train station on Friday, and it was a wild scene. And they pulled the missile out, and the word said, "For the children," was scrawled on the side in Russian. That's what it said, "For the children." So messages like that on the bomb. It's obviously some sort of revenge. That's what that, I think, certainly, it, that was destined to that's what they wanted to do. They wanted to evoke a reaction, and that's exactly what they did by hitting people who thought they were relatively okay coming to and from that train station. But I think no place is relatively okay throughout the Ukraine. I mean, we've just recently seen images, I just looked at these a few hours ago, of an 8-mile-long Russian convoy in eastern Ukraine. So that's why I say the battle lines have shifted, and they're trying to advance to another area. So if you couldn't go in and take over Kyiv, the capital city, come a roundabout way and figure out other ways to hit the Ukrainians. And there's just a shock and outrage and more sanctions, and, I mean, sanction it up. That's, you know, we've picked the Ukraine to help, to do what we can. People are seeing the sad faces, so that's where we're going with that. All right, coming up next, we're on the road, but we certainly have lots of mail. We're going to the mailbag.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Do you have those well-meaning friends who tell you what you ought to be doing with your life? I'm Kate Delaney. I have them. Occasionally I listened and I found myself stuck in dead-end jobs, relationships, and a life I absolutely did not recognize. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, I promise you, once you finish it, you won't let people tell you what to do anymore. Learn how to make bold moves that change the course of your destiny. The book is filled with stories that will make you laugh out loud and lessons you can apply right away. If you go to my website, KateDelaneyRadio.com. I have a steal of a deal. Check this out. Just $29.99 for both my hard copy books. Deal Your Own Destiny, which I just talked about, and my girlfriend's gratitude journal. Perfect gift for girlfriends, wives, or any woman in your life. Again, both books, just $29.99. Click on special offer at KateDelaneyRadio.com.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
Let's dig in the mailbag.
And thanks for all the mail. I am broadcasting from beautiful Newport Beach, California. So it's the typical California scenery. You see the palm trees, the Balboa Beach, which I mentioned, where it's really a cool little town. You just go over a bridge and then you're there. It's just a seaside town. Anyway, I feel very fortunate to be here and still to be with you and get all the mail that we always get. And I'm fond of saying this, and you pick up on it, so people listening to it, Kate at KateDelaneyRadio.com. Thoughts on your mind, let them flow. Send them to me 24/7. Just like Manny did. He listens to us on KVOI in Tucson, Arizona, because he says, Manny here from Tucson, so that's what I'm assuming anyway. He says, Kate, I don't know if you would have seen this or not, but there's a crazy story in Tucson that happened a few days ago about a 20-year-old who killed a man and then hit a woman after hitting them with her car. And it was it a hit and run? No, it was some kind of weird confrontation in a parking lot. And she took off, and they later tracked her. They were able to track her down, and the two people were, of course, taken to the hospital. But the woman was hospitalized, and the man was killed. And it was really kind of one of those freaky things, you know, because you see people's temperaments, etc., and what's happening, I think, because of the pandemic. You've talked about it on your show. Who knows if that had anything to do with it or what the confrontation was over. I did, you know what, I did hear about the story, Manny. And they identified the 20-year-old, Elaine Boone was her name. So she was picked up on suspicion of killing the man and injuring the woman. And that was slamming into them with her car. And the key thing is that there was some kind of argument or something. So she's, you know,
booked on aggravated assault, and I guess she has three outstanding warrants, including second-degree homicide. So there is much more to the story. And I don't know why, because there's absolutely no correlation to it, so I thought it was interesting that I got your email. It reminded me in a much different way, because I think of cars as weapons when people do that, but not a hit-and-run, an accidental, or somebody, drunk and driving. But there was a weird story years and years ago about this Clara Harris, who was a Texas dentist, and she ran over her husband and ran over him several times. And she eventually got out of prison. I mean, she served time for it. It was like 20 years for manslaughter. And like they were in their 40s. And it was the craziest thing. And I guess he was a serial cheater, or supposedly was. But regardless, I mean, it was the craziest story. And she didn't serve 20 of them. I think she got out 15 years. But anyway, I just remember that story, and I don't know why, like I said, there's no correlation with this, but the whole thing of hitting someone in an act of rage and whatever the reason is. So anyway, thanks for sending me that. Let's go on to Bobby, and Bobby's got this, and he's talking about the Ukraine. He said, Kate, at least more people in the world besides the U.S. are paying attention to what's happening in the Ukraine, but sometimes it makes you wonder, why the Ukraine? I'm not saying we shouldn't be paying attention. I'm not saying we shouldn't help the Ukrainian people, but there are so many atrocities being committed in so many other places in the world. You have to think that some of them feel like, where's our help? Where's our attention in Africa and other places? However, seeing Boris Johnson do that surprise visit thing to Kyiv, I think, lifted the morale, anyway, of the Ukrainian president. And I believe the UK is sending a bunch of missiles and, you know, whatnot to the Ukraine. So the visit was good timing, I think, over the weekend. You may know more about that. Yeah, what they're going to send is what you're referring to, and you probably heard this too, is they've got 120 armored tanks, etc., and they've got these anti-ship missile systems. That's what it is. It's a ship missile systems that they're sending. And so Boris Johnson decided to do that in-person thing, and I think it is a morale builder, I guess, if you want to call it that. It happened on Saturday, and there have been a bunch of leaders that have gone to visit the country, right? And Johnson actually posted on Twitter that his visit to Kyiv was a show of unwavering support for the people of the Ukraine, and he announced a new package of financial and military aid. So that's what he wanted to do, and that was the image he wanted to put out there, certainly. And I mean, this look, as we know, and even Boris Johnson said in part of another statement, the Ukraine has defied the odds by pushing back the Russians from the gates of their capital city. There's no question about that, because, you know, who would you think would have the stronger army? And the answer would be Russia. But it's like this will, and also the help that they're getting from other people as far as having enough to go after them, and there's never enough. But that's what the big difference is, I think. All right, and plus defend, of course, the will to defend their freedom, their democracy. And Zelensky is has emerged as, I mean, this guy was a comedian and then became the president. He's emerged as the leader of, I'm digging in and I'm here right with the people, and we're not giving our country up. We're not just turning over, and I'm not turning around and running away. And he has showed that he's trying to keep that imagery out there, let people know what's happening. So good for him. All right, this one is from Bruce, and Bruce says, hey Kate, I'm scared to death for my children. I'm scared to death for my grandchildren, who are very, very young. The world is in a crazy, crazy tailspin, I think, right now. And I don't try to get whipped up by things that I hear or fake information or is that information true, but you have to say these are some of the scariest damn times that we've lived in. You know, in the past they've talked about nuclear proliferation, but how close were we ever really to that? What are the chances of being vaporized? Who knows what Russia will do? Who knows how Putin will react. Certainly, they have the capability. And as we continue to see them being isolated, which they should be and be cut off because of the world reacting to the Ukraine and the atrocities there, it just gets, I think, more and more dangerous and tenuous as to all of our futures. And it's really heavy on my heart. Well, thanks for sending me that, and I agree. I just had a conversation with someone probably similar to you about having really young grandchildren, and somebody who, like me and like you and the rest of us, love our freedom, love being Americans, and have hopefully not taken it for granted. And yes, when you wake up, do you feel a little knot in your stomach? Do you hear another piece of information about who's been targeted or what's happening and Russia regrouping after being beaten up? And at one point, does Putin do the unthinkable? Does something like that happen? Well, there's nukes for a reason. And we can't answer the question of could you really fathom him pushing the button, so to speak, on that? He could. I mean, to me, I think he's a megalomaniac. That's what I think he is. And I've said this all along, that getting the Russian troops in there, going toward Kyiv, I don't believe that he believed that he would be knee-deep in this months later, that there would be this maybe world outcry that would heavily go against him, and he would see that his own country's fortunes were dwindling because people were willing to cut off the Russians, because I think he really believed this was going to be just boom, boom, we're in and we're out and we've got it. You know, Zelensky's gone, it's now we're annexing it or doing whatever and grabbing the land, so to speak, and that's that. But that's not what happened. So it's amazing to see the will of the Ukrainian people. I've already mentioned that, but it is very scary to think of the unknowns, and who knows, deep intel, what serious unfiltered intel says that is coming through our Defense Department, that there are only a handful of eyes that are privy to it. I guarantee it would be frightening to have access to that, to know. But do we bury our head in the sands like ostriches? No. I mean, you move forward, you live every day to the fullest, and you do what you can to help innocent people who are caught in the middle of this. And this is what's happening, and obviously in the UK and other places, and the reactions that we're seeing. I mean, we are in this together. Okay, let's go to another one quickly. All right, this one is from Joey, and Joey says, "Hey, Kate, I hate tax time. Hate it, hate it, hate it, hate it. I just want to say I filed my taxes. I did it electronically, and it took forever. I thought it was going to be easy. Who can read this gobbledygook nonsense? I'm not a dummy, but I wish there was a flat tax. What do you think?" Hey, amen. Flat tax, fair tax, some other kind of tax, but the dreaded three letters, they're here to stay, at least for some time in our near future. All right, thanks to everybody for sending me their thoughts here in the mailbag.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You- USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Pope Francis has opened Holy Week with a call for an Easter truce in Ukraine. He celebrated Palm Sunday Mass before a large crowd at St. Peter's Square. Ukraine's top prosecutor says she's now investigating 5,600 cases of war crimes in Ukraine. Reporting on those cases, here's Eileen McHugh on the BBC.
Ukraine's prosecutor general says the bodies of more than 1,200 people have been found in the Kyiv region since Russian forces withdrew from the area. Irina Venediktova told a British broadcaster that Russian forces were killing Ukrainians every day in areas they controlled. She said Ukraine had identified more than 500 suspected war criminals, including top military and government officials in Russia.
This is USA Radio News. More people in Washington are coming down with COVID-19.
Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack is the latest federal official to test positive for COVID-19. He tweeted that he is vaccinated and boosted and that his symptoms are mild. He was among dozens who attended the annual Gridiron Club dinner last week who tested positive. That count includes Attorney General Merrick Garland, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, and Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff of California and Joaquin Castro of Texas. Officials who did not attend the dinner are testing positive as well, including Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine and Democratic Senator Raphael Warnock of Georgia. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also tested positive recently.
One of the organizers of the Stop the Steal movement, Ali Alexander, says he's cooperating with the House committee investigating the January 6 riots at the Capitol. In a statement, he said he's innocent of any wrongdoing and is cooperating with the panel. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Did you get a call or message that mentioned Social Security that made you feel threatened or scared? That is not the Social Security Administration. Social Security will not threaten you, press you for personal information, or demand instant payment. Social Security does not accept payments by gift card, prepaid debit card, internet currency, or by mailing cash. Criminals use these forms of payment because they are hard to trace. Don't fall for it. Hang up, ignore them. Report this criminal activity to oig.ssa.gov.
I need a copy of my tax return. How do I get one?
If you don't have a copy of your original tax return, you can get a transcript of your tax return for free from the IRS. A transcript shows most line items from your return, which is usually all you need. You can order a transcript of any return filed within the past 3 years, including forms 1040, 1040A, and 1040EZ. All you need to do is go to irs.gov/transcript to order your transcript today.
Time for a little odds and ends here on the show, some things I've been thinking about. And once again, we just did the mailbag. Thanks to all of you. You can always send me 24/7, I say this, whatever it is you're thinking about, anything you have to add to any conversation, it's all good. Kate@katedelaneyradio.com. Because I just have flown, I flew into Santa Ana, the John Wayne Airport, first time I've been to it. Really smooth, easy, very close to Newport Beach, where I'm broadcasting from. I was paying attention to what was going on with the airlines. There were people that have had some snags on their way here. There were people that had to get flights to other areas. And so there's still complications in the air because of weather or other, you know, fallout. But how about this? The FAA is proposing its largest fine so far against two passengers for unruly behavior. It's the fallout from the pandemic, right? And there was the one traveler who threatened to hurt a flight attendant during an American flight to Charlotte that was just last summer, and they're proposing a fine of $81,950 for that. You know what? That was such a ridiculous story, and I think the person who did that should be fined and go for it. Absolutely. Because what's the deterrent if people think that they can just take over and say and do whatever they want on the flight? I mean, is civility dead? Luckily for me, I've had such great experiences lately when I've been flying. I haven't had any encounters with people who have been just nothing short of chivalrous, wonderful, whatever. And, you know, trust me, I've flown to, as you all know, a couple of different areas. Then there was this story about
You know, when you go through TSA, do you remember what you have in your pockets? Do you remember what you have in your bag? There was a guy who went through TSA at Boston's Logan International Airport. This happened on Tuesday of last week. He said he had no idea. He had a cane with a blade. And he was questioned by the Massachusetts State Police. And, you know, it's not uncommon for blades, I guess we know, to be concealed in what seems like an ordinary object. But he tried to make it through Logan with a dagger concealed. Concealed. Well, really, it was a sword. With a sword concealed in the cane. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's like an old movie where somebody's fake, like a spy, is faking that they have an injury, and then they whip out, you know, the sword. And then on Thursday, there was a passenger who tried to make it through with a knife and a hairbrush handle, and that happened in Ithaca. Some carry-on items are not allowed, people, even if they appear to be nothing unusual, like a cane with a hidden sword. Are we forgetting where we're going, what we're doing? It's just crazy. Well, so nothing like that happened on my journey. Nobody was stopped with a sword they didn't know they had, or you know, any kind of a hairbrush or some other item that happened to have something sharp inside of it. This is a lovely story. Anytime there's a rescue, I'm going to hear about it, because I feel like I'm bombarding you with horrible negative news all the time, and what my reaction to it is and what I know about it and why I think it's worth talking about. But I happen to catch this one about rescuers discovering a missing teenager who doesn't speak, is nonverbal, after hearing him clink rocks. So this was a California teenager. The teen, who's developmentally disabled, was at Crescenta Valley Park in Glendale, so that's, you know, LA-ish area. And he was with his mother and sister. He went missing. This happened like 10 in the morning. It was just recently, April 3rd. The park is south of Angeles National Forest, so there's some heavily forested areas. It's really a pretty place. What happened was the 16-year-old was walking straight up a hillside with what the family said was kind of a different move. And the mother and sister couldn't follow him. He was missing for 7 hours. 7 hours. And so they were searching. His mom mentioned that he liked to play. This is when you have to think of things. His mom mentioned that he liked to play with rocks. So during the search operation, somebody heard clinking of rocks. So they had a helicopter. That's because they were searching in different ways. And they found him sitting under a tree. And he was banging rocks. So, and he was really in pretty good shape, which is a great end to that story. And bravo to all the people that were part of that Montrose search and rescue team who were frantically, and I say frantically because they didn't want it to get dark, they were trying to find the teenager. But that was good by mom to have that memory of, well, he likes to pick up rocks, and they're there in the woods. And so that probably saved his life. Because who knows how long he would have survived, or if somebody would have found him. It's very, very thick. And once you get lost and discombobulated and you're in the middle of that, good luck trying to get out of it. And especially if he's not, you know, if he's not thinking of where he came from and how to backtrack. And, you know, that becomes tougher when you're trying to, when especially you're developmentally disabled, which he obviously had some functionality as a human, but there are things that could have easily discombobulated him. So, yay, good ending to that story. Here's another thing that caught my attention. And this is the people who are testing positive for COVID. It feels like, I felt like I was on COVID watch, right? We're trying to lift spirits, we're trying to be realistic, we're trying to talk about what we know to be true or the information we have. But now we're seeing that more, and I don't know, is it on an uptick that we should worry about? The U.S. Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack is vaccinated, boosted, and he said over the weekend he tested positive for COVID-19, but mild symptoms. So he said, thankfully, my symptoms are mild. So he's just another politician in Washington testing positive for the virus. You had the Attorney General, Merrick Garland. You had the Commerce Secretary. You had the House Speaker, Nancy Pelosi, and a slew of others who have announced they're testing positive for COVID-19. And I've noticed that I've had friends who kind of have disappeared off the map, and then they announce that they have COVID-19 too. And we have this new strain that's entered Europe and the United States, and it doesn't seem to be as bad as Omicron. But there are cases of it. Like, there's a crazy story of 67 people testing positive for COVID. So imagine that. And why? They were at a gala. They were at a dinner. 67 people. And that included the man I just said, the Ag Secretary, Tom Vilsack. So he was the third in the cabinet who was infected. They were at a dinner at the Renaissance Hotel. And that's pretty freaky. 67 people. It was a white tie marquee dinner after they finally held it, because, of course, there's been nothing in person for 2 years. There were 630 guests. So if you do the math, that would be about 10% of the guests tested positive after the event. And I guess a lot of the employees who worked the dinner wore masks, but the attendees didn't have the mask. And this is the Gridiron Club is what it's called. And all the guests had to show proof of vaccination before they went to it. So these are people that, if you had to show proof, they were vaccinated and they still came down with it. What does that tell us, if anything? So when we think about this next strain, or the strain that's here, please, please move on. I know you are weary. I say this is the word, weary of what we've dealt with, right? I mean, and is it kind of haphazard or kind of catch as catch can when it comes to what the policies are, right? That used to be our big sticking point. What is the policy? What's going on? Mask, no mask, whatever. And they vary is what it is. So what are the CDC guidelines? What's going on? And what's close contact? Are you still going to the grocery store and you're 6 feet away from the next person? People are doing that around me. Even if they don't have a mask on, people are doing the social distancing thing. And I would think with this exposure to some of these cabinet members that Biden would be next. I can't imagine that he doesn't come down testing positive with COVID-19, because he's been close to Pelosi, he's been close to so many of the others who have gotten COVID, who have fallen ill with it, but supposedly he does not have it. So what is the likelihood of it? He was around the people. He wasn't at that Saturday Gridiron dinner, that gala, but there certainly were other politicians, and they were politicians that he's been around. And what happened to our coronavirus czar? Where are we with, you know, can we have events that can be held safely that are large? And I want to say I've known a lot of people that have been at big events and they've been fine. But it is very odd, right? We go from all these crazy regulations, then not regulations, then the fighting of mask, unmask, and here we are back debating or talking about what does all that mean with these positive cases. Most mild, thank goodness. All right, odds and ends is a wrap, as they say, and we are wrapping this hour. Coming up next.
My name is Milan Vukovic. 10 years ago, I got frustrated with the quality of Pau D'Arco tea sold in the stores. So, I founded the Pau D'Arco Tea Club that now ships our super tea to over 100 countries. You too can order or get info about the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea at www.drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. Why settle for less when you can order original pure Pau D'Arco and drink super tea for only $34.95 per pound plus shipping? Each pound makes 300 cups, which is the equivalent of 12 cents per cup for the original pure Pau D'Arco super tea. Order now at www.drinksupertea.com. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com or by calling 818-965-9113.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunnybay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Joins us, and he's written a fascinating children's book that really adults can certainly read this too, called Jerome. And our off-air conversation made me want to go to Nova Scotia and this wonderful place that he describes. Peter, thanks so much for coming on.
It's a pleasure.
Tell me about the road to writing Jerome and what it's all about.
Well, Sandy Cove is one of the most beautiful places you could ever imagine. It is right on the coast. It's on a peninsula south of Digby. And my mother-in-law was born there. And she remained there for about, 8 years, and then moved to the States. We started going up there about, 30-plus years ago. And we ultimately bought a cabin. And down below the cabin on a beach is a rock called Jerome's Rock. And it has an interesting history. A man was found in front of this rock in 1863, and he basically had no legs. And they don't know where he came from or how he got there. And ever since then, there's been a sense of mystery about Jerome, you know, the mystery of Jerome and all this and that and so forth. And we started going up there, and we had two corgis at that time, Copper and Andy. And we still continue to have corgis to this day. And I thought it would be kind of interesting to write a short story for kids about two corgis finding this bundle on the beach in front of this rock. And because that's basically what happened. A young man named Collie, who was part of the Albright family, lived in a cabin up where our cabin is now, but across the street. And the foundation is still there, and of this old building. And basically, colleagues saw this. One of his kids saw this bundle and thought it was a dead seal, and went over to it, and it turned out to be this man with no legs and barely alive. He ran up the hill, got his grandmother, and they all came down and discovered basically what turned out to be Jerome. And the reason he was called Jerome was because the only words they could get out of his mouth sounded like Jerome. So they figured, oh, well, this is interesting. And as the story, the history of this, the true history of it goes on, some folks interpreted that as perhaps being Genoa, Italy. So maybe he came from Genoa. And there's a lot of interesting stuff that has come up over the years about this character, who I, after reading about him, I started to really feel kind of badly for him because he's suffered so tremendously, you know, throughout his life. He died in, I think it was 2009, and in Metegan, which is on the French shore, because he lived in Sandy Cove for a while. People took care of him. And then they shuffled him off down to Metegan, and he lived a pretty miserable life. People didn't particularly find him, warm and comfortable. and he really didn't speak much. And so that's a little bit of the background. And our dogs, I decided to have them all of a sudden be able to speak in the book, so they can talk with Jerome. And so can their friend Otter can also speak to Jerome and through some sort of, you know, magic. And so they finally end up taking him up and putting him in this, well, what's really a cellar hole now across from our cabin. And they build a little place for him there. And basically some families in Sandy Cove decided it was time to move him up the neck to the poorhouse. Now, the poorhouse outside of Digby was this huge building, and it was scary as hell. I mean, it really looked awful, you know, later in years. And it burnt to the ground, actually, about, I think, 30 or 40 years ago. But anyway, so they took him up to the poorhouse, and where he remained briefly. And while they were in there, one of the dogs, Andy, had a coughing fit. And it turns out that when he'd been licking Jerome's hand on the beach, a ring had lodged on his tooth, which got spit out on the floor and was inscribed inside. And it looked to be a very strange language. So they took this this ring up to a man in Digby whose name was Stormy. And he was known to repair concertinas. And that comes in because I play the concertina, and I figure I got to throw that in there. So he's repairing his concertina, and he reads the inscription, and he said, this looks to be, you know, Gaelic. And it turns out it indicated that Jerome might be of royalty. And so everybody got excited about that, and they got Jerome out of the poorhouse because they didn't want this bundle, as the director of the poorhouse referred to him as a bundle sitting in the corner. They didn't want this. So Jerome went back to Sandy Cove, and they built his hut really nicely. And the book ends with all the community surrounded by Jerome and Copper and Andy, all sort of around a big campfire on the beach. In a nutshell, that's sort of the story.
Oh, the story is wonderful. And such history that you also weave in knowing and loving that place. Peter, what do you hope kids and others who read it take away from reading Jerome?
Oh, I think probably how amazing dogs are. You know, the book really is about dogs. We've had corgis for a long time. And Copper and Andy were really very special. All of our dogs have been special. We have two right now, Bracken and, Dakin, which is Jane's family name. And they're really, They're tough. They're great. and I think also this sense of history about Jerome to me is just fascinating, because this guy suffered so much, and how these dogs related to him. And the interesting thing, the mystery of Jerome, for some interesting reason, people didn't want to really publicize that they really think that Jerome basically was injured in a lumbering accident in New Brunswick, and that he was not really working there, but was evidently had gotten offloaded from a boat. And they think he was wandering around and managed to get injured by a tree that fell. And a community over there took him in and took care of him for I'm not sure how long. But then they decided he was too much of a burden on the parish. And they found somebody who they paid not a lot of money to take him theoretically back to Genoa. Well, this unscrupulous character basically put him on this boat and took him as far as he thought he should, which happened to be the beach in Sandy Cove, where they offloaded him. And so they think that probably that is the history, and it's pretty well documented, actually, that he'd lost his legs. And if you really look into it, you're going to discover that his legs were surgically removed by a pretty decent surgeon. And they think they know who that was and when it was and where it was. But there's an element of mystery that, you know, the community of Sandy Cove and those folks that live on Digby Neck, which mainly is comprised of, was historically and still is to a degree, handliners. But, of course, people aren't handlining anymore. You know, they're going out in real boats, fishing boats and lobstering and scalloping. But this mystery has kept them going, and still there's a sign, the mystery of Jerome. And Julia Sawyer, in her book that she wrote in 1942 called Fog Magic, certainly carried that on, because she mentions Jerome in that book. And just a whole sort of interesting history behind this character.
Boy, no kidding. Was this a joy to write this book for you? It certainly sounds like it.
Yeah, I had a good time. It was fun. but I'll have to say, you know, because you wrote, and I don't know whether you still write now or not, but proofreading is a nightmare. I mean, because you're always worried you're going to miss something. And, of course, you do. And then all of a sudden, oh, my God, you know, and you have to go back and revise. And I've just finished working on a book of short stories and poems, which is sort of autobiographical. That was fun because, you know, if you write poems at times, I wrote a poem when Bertram, one of our corgis, died. And, you know, it's the last poem in this book. And I read it, when I read it, I'm back there almost in tears.
I love it. That shows something about your poetry, that's for sure. We can't wait for that to come out. Peter Liburd, the book is Jerome. You can pick it up on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever great books are sold. It really is a very, very good book. I encourage you to go and get it. Thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Well, you're welcome. What a treat.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.